Rama, 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 Rama. Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Nitai Gauri Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gauri Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gauri Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। हरि नाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जय। हरे कृष्ण। ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वांशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणम्। So, thank you all for coming to this most auspicious Govardhan Puja. Hare Krishna. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. So, we are still in the month of Kartik. So, we can feel the electricity in the air, month of Damodar. As we discussed a few weeks ago, this is the Urja month, a very potent month, especially to render devotional service, bhakti unto Krishna. And today, actually today is the day when the Damodar Leela actually happened. So when we sing later on, so we can specially, you know, dive into the Damodar Ashtakam and seek the mercy from that pastime. But today we will speak mostly about Govardhan Puja. We'll spend a little bit of time on the Deepavali celebration also. So, how many of you here are new? Are you here for the first time? Oh, they went upstairs. Okay, all right. Okay, so we're all... Okay, thank you. So, Govardhan Puja. So, Govardhan is a very, very sacred hill in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a place in India in the district of Mathura. So if you ever go to Vrindavan, one of the places in Vrindavan is the Govardhan Hill. And around Govardhan Hill, there are many, many amazing places where Krishna performed his pastimes. So today we'll specifically discuss the speciality of this Govardhan Hill and Govardhan Puja, why we perform Govardhan Puja, and how it all started, Govardhan Puja. So once upon a time, I will try to tell this as I tell my 3-year-old. Once upon a time, Krishna and his cowherd boys, they were actually, as they normally do, they went to the forest to herd their cows, and they were returning, from herding the cows. And Krishna, he saw that his father and many, many other cowherd men, they were very busily preparing for a sacrifice, or for a yajna. And so Krishna, a young boy, 7-year-old boy, he asked very respectfully his father, what is this sacrifice that they are getting ready for? And he asked many nice questions. One of them being, what is the intention behind the sacrifice? Who is the beneficiary of the sacrifice? So he asked very, very respectfully his father, these questions. How to perform this sacrifice? Is the sacrifice that you're about to perform, is it mentioned in the scriptures? Is it something that is traditionally done, or is it mentioned in the scriptures? So he had many, many questions. And his father looked at him very lovingly, and he thought he's just a 7-year-old boy. And so he almost, like we often do, he brushed off the questions of his 7-year-old son. He thought, it's an age where the children, they ask a lot of questions. So he brushed, Nanda Maharaj felt that he would not understand, but Krishna, he persisted again. Please tell me, who is the beneficiary of the sacrifice? Why is it being done? How to do it? Why do we do it? And Nanda Maharaj, he answered. So Krishna, just taking a step back, Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he appears out of his own causeless mercy in a certain family. He has parents. So God is a person, and he has mother and father. Like we have mother and father, he also has a mother and father. Although he's unborn, but he appears, when he appears in this realm, he gives the opportunity to pay up, to parents to serve him in that way. And so he appears specifically in a cowherd family. And so the cowherds, the main business, main function that they perform is agriculture. They till the land. And agriculture, it depends on rain. So when there is, timely rain, then the crops flourish and there is abundance. So this specific sacrifice, Nanda Maharaj was explaining to his son that we are propitiating, or we are offering our gratitude to the demigod Indra. He is in charge of giving rain. So we are expressing our gratitude to Indra, because without rain, timely rain, there is no agriculture, there are no crops. So we're offering our respectful, gratitude to Indra. So this is his proposition. And Krishna, he's a 7-year-old boy, but he explains, this is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, that actually that the demigod worship, what the demigods they have to offer, firstly, the results that they offer, they are temporary. And even the demigods, they are actually dependent upon the Supreme Lord. to offer whatever they can, they offer. So they are dependent. So Krishna, he says, you don't need to perform, you know, this Indra Puja. So there are many, many reasons. When Krishna performs a certain pastime, there are many, many reasons behind it. So this is one of the reasons. So Indra, he is the king of heaven, and somehow with that post, being the king of heaven, one of the qualities that he is afflicted by is pride. And Krishna, through this pastime, you know, he wants to check the pride of Indra. Indra is also a devotee, so Krishna doesn't like to see pride remaining in the hearts of devotees. So he wants to check Indra. So one can just imagine, this is our situation also. So Indra, he is being offered, you know, every year this Indra Puja or Indra Yajna is being done every year. And so Indra, he is getting used to it. He likes it because this is one of the things, one of the diseases of a conditioned living entity. You know, we like to be worshipped. So Indra is a demigod, but he also is afflicted by pride. So he has expectations that this Indra Yajna, this Indra Puja, be done year after year after year. So this is one of the nature of pride. When we have pride in the heart, then we begin to expect. You know. For example, you know, when I come to the temple, if I got a garland, you know, today, then I begin to expect that, well, next week also I should get a garland, or the week after also I should get a garland. You know. So pride and expectations, they go hand in hand. So anyway, so Krishna, so one can only imagine Indra is anticipating, you know, because this is a time, every year they perform this yajna. And Krishna, he decides to stop the yajna. And he gives many, many reasons actually. So why this Indra yajna is not necessary, Indra puja is not necessary. You know. And he says, instead, whatever has been collected, whatever has been gathered, you know, why don't we offer it to Govardhan? So Govardhan is a hill in Vrindavan where, so Krishna mentioned that actually it's Govardhan that is giving us all that we need. It gives us fruits, it gives, you know, wonderful grasses for the cows, it gives us jewels, you know, and so, you know, and water, shady trees. So Krishna says, instead of worshipping Indra, let's use all of this that you've gathered and let's worship Govardhan. But again, Nanda Maharaj, being wanting to be respectful to Indra, he says, sure, you know, I agree with your proposition, you know, but let us finish this Indra Yajna and then I will make sure that we perform another Yajna, you know, for Govardhan. We'll do it tomorrow. But Krishna, Prabhupada explains, that one of the things that he wants to do through this pastime is he wants devotees to exclusively surrender to Krishna. So he doesn't want us to worship demigods. Of course, respect should be there for all living entities. But the word worship, in Bhagavad Gita Krishna mentions, that the worship, word worship is exclusively reserved for Krishna. Respect is there for everyone, but worship is exclusively for Krishna. So Krishna, he wanted that to happen, you know, also. So he wanted his devotees to exclusively depend on him, to worship him. And so there is this dialogue going on between Nanda Maharaj and Krishna. And finally Nanda Maharaj, you know, he agrees. He says, okay, you know, this is the desire of my son. So he agrees. So this is the nature actually of Rajavasis, the residents of Vrindavan, or the devotees. They want to do what is pleasing to Krishna. That is their only goal in life. Their own considerations are secondary. You know, whether, you know, whether they like something or not, but what is important to Krishna, what is pleasing to Krishna, that is their only goal of life. So Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd boys, you know, they agree to perform Govardhan Puja. And so then they ask him, how to perform this Govardhan Puja? Can you please tell us? How should we perform? And so Krishna, he describes how to perform the Govardhan Puja. Everybody should be nicely dressed. And then he describes how, what all preparations should be made. And then how all the cowherd boys and the whole families, they should come in their bullock carts and they should circumambulate, you know, the Govardhan Hill. So he describes in detail how it should be done. And so the cowherd boys, they're getting ready to do that. So while this is happening, obviously Indra, you know, whose worship has been stopped, he becomes enraged. And it's not a little bit of anger. We will hear, you know, how enraged he is actually. So when he sees that this seven-year-old boy, he says, who is this seven-year-old boy, this impudent boy, who dare, you know, stop my worship? And because he's in charge of rain, so he says that I'm going to teach him and all the residents of Vrindavan a lesson that they will never forget in their life. So he calls for a special, you know, clouds called the Samvartaka clouds. Samvartaka clouds, they also have a service during, you know, the devastation of the universe. So he calls the Samvartaka clouds, and he is enraged, obviously, you know. And so the clouds, who are the servants of Indra, they come, you know, with their hands folded, and Indra, he gives them the order. And even as the clouds are hearing the order of Indra, I mean, they are petrified. I mean, they can't believe it, that Indra, whose worshipable Lord is also Krishna, he can go to the extent of wanting, you know, to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. And not only that, all the cows and the calves. So he wants to, essentially, he wants to decimate Vrindavan, you know, by deluging, you know, by sending a deluge of rainfall. So he calls Samvartaka clouds. And they are helpless. They have to follow, you know, their master. They have no choice. So they go. And Indra, he sends rain, you know, it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam and the scriptures, it's like sheets of rain. And not only rain, but even thunderbolts. And there is so much rain that very soon the whole of Vrindavan is getting flooded. And of course, so what happens in Vrindavan? Whenever they are in any difficulty, the residents of Vrindavan, they call out to Krishna. That's the only personality that they know. So they call out to Krishna. And our acharyas explain that when, you know, when Krishna, he saw this rainfall pouring, so he was in his house. Anyway, so Krishna can do anything. So it is mentioned by our acharyas that he gave an order to another specific kind of clouds to stop raining, you know, from where, so Krishna is running from his house to Govardhan Hill, you know, so that his turban and his clothes, they don't get wet as he's running. So that area, there was a cloud cover, you know, where the rain had stopped. So Krishna was not drenching or soaking wet when he actually reached Govardhan Hill. Anyway, he can do anything, but this is how he orchestrated it. He asked, you know, he asked for a special cloud cover. He was dry. Because, yeah, for if you have to stand for 7 days, you know, with your clothes wet, it's not going to be fun. Anyway, so he runs, and then he picks up Govardhan Hill. Yeah. So this Govardhan Hill is massive. It is mentioned that as the Kali Yuga is progressing, it is shrinking, you know, every day. But I don't have the dimensions with me, but suffice it to say, it's huge. And Krishna, our acharyas explained, he goes and he lifts it with his, you know, with his pinky, with his left hand, little finger. He lifts the whole Govardhan Hill. And he invites all the residents, you know, of Vrindavan to come and take the shelter of Govardhan. So one by one, all of them, they come, including all the animals. Prabhupada explains the cows and the dogs and the sheep and the goat and all the animals and all the residents of Vrindavan, the cowherd boy, the cowherd men, you know, everybody in Vrindavan, they come under Govardhan, and Krishna is holding, you know, Govardhan. So actually, so this is the desire of the residents of Vrindavan is to be with Krishna, you know, at every single moment. But it was not possible, you know, to be with Krishna at every single moment, because Krishna performed his pastimes. Like in the morning, as soon as the sun rose, Krishna would, you know, sound his bugle, which would invite all his cowherd boys to come, and they would all go, you know, herding the cows. So for the whole day, the cowherd boys, they had exclusive association of Krishna. And the other residents of Vrindavan, they were in separation of Krishna. So they waited. They waited, the cowherd girls and the cowherd, you know, women, elderly cowherd women and the cowherd men, they all waited till Krishna came back. And as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, so each moment was like, you know, 12 years or more in separation of Krishna. So Govardhan pastime is special, our acharyas explain, because through this pastime, Krishna, he fulfilled the desire of all the residents of Vrindavan to be with him 24/7, you know, without any interruption. So under the same roof, under the same hill, while Krishna was holding the hill, there were his friends, cowherd boys, and there were young cowherd girls, damsels, who were in, you know, affection for Krishna. There were other elderly residents of Vrindavan who had parental affection for Krishna, like that. So all the main rasas, main mellows of relationships, neutrality, servitorship, parental affection, friendly affection, and conjugal affection, all the residents were there. And Krishna, he's unlimited. So he can have simultaneously, you know, unlimited exchanges with all the living entities. And so it is mentioned that while he was holding, you know, the hill, so some of his other friends who were also, you know, 6-7 year old, they were getting concerned if Krishna was getting tired, you know, by holding the hill. And so they were offering him help. So they had their sticks, they held up the sticks, and they were thinking that they were actually holding the hill. And Krishna let them think that way, and sometimes to have fun with them, he would lower the hill a little bit, and then they would cry out, "Krishna, help!" And then again, you know, he would lift it. So anyway, so he was having exchanges, you know, with his cowherd boyfriends, and then with his sidelong glances, you know, he was exchanging glances with the cowherd men, I mean cowherd women, damsels. And Balaram, he was actually witnessing, you know, all of this, how Krishna was having exchanges, loving exchanges with everyone. And so while all was, this was going on, you know, Indra was continuing to send, you know, thunderbolts and rain, and they could care less. They didn't even feel anything. So for Krishna, our acharyas explain, he lifted the hill just like how a small boy, he picks up, you know, a mushroom. That's it. Like he, you know, picks up a mushroom from the ground. So he lifted the hill. And for 7 days, without a break, you know, the cowherd boys and the everyone, they had continuous association of Krishna. And Indra, he was being very persistent, you know, but very soon he realized that, you know, what a big offense he had committed. So this is the nature of pride. So pride, one becomes blind when there is pride. So Indra, he forgot that the 7-year-old boy is his master, you know, who actually is his lord as well. And so finally, Indra, he comes to his senses. And then, you know, he comes and he offers obeisances to Krishna. And he is clever. He understands that he has committed actually a very big offense, you know, as we hear from the scriptures. Krishna can even tolerate an offense unto him. But if somebody performs, you know, an offense unto his devotees, that is something he never tolerates. So not only his devotees, but, you know, the cows also, which are very, very dear to Krishna, he tried to kill them, annihilate, you know, the entire Vrindavan. So it was not a small mistake. It was a big time error, big time offense. So he was considering how to go, you know, how to approach Krishna. And so somehow or the other, he went to Krishna with one of a cow, Surabhi cow, a very special cow. And knowing that when Krishna would see that special Surabhi cow, you know, he would be pacified. So he went. And then he was feeling very, very ashamed, you know. But somehow or the other, the demigods, you know, they encouraged him. They encouraged him. They reminded him of Krishna's merciful nature. And they encouraged him to start glorifying him. And they encouraged him to perform the abhishek. Abhishek meaning, like earlier he wanted to kill the residents of Vrindavan by sending torrential rain. But one of the things we often do every day is we give Krishna, you know, the Supreme Lord, a bath every morning. So the demigods, they encouraged him, you know, to shower, you know, to give Krishna, you know, a bath, you know. So which is a nice thing. And so he came with his elephant Airavata, and Airavata also got the service. So there is a beautiful picture in Srimad Bhagavatam if you see, with his trunk, you know, he's showering, you know, he's doing the abhishek, or, you know, giving Krishna a bath. And Lord Indra, he offers, you know, prayers, profuse prayers, seeking forgiveness from Krishna for his offense. And Krishna hears them. And then, you know, he doesn't, you know, he's more concerned about going back to performing his pastimes with the cowherd boys, you know, and the other residents of Vrindavan. And Indra, he returns back to his abode. So this Govardhan pastime, there are many, many things that we can learn from this Govardhan pastime. So just to recap, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that those whose intelligence is stolen, you know, by material desires, they worship the demigods. Because demigods are representatives of the Supreme Lord. They are in charge of certain aspects, certain affairs of the Supreme Lord, like providing rain or sunlight, you know. But one who is intelligent, you know, he respects them, but he worships exclusively the Supreme Lord. So through this pastime, Krishna is, you know, requesting his exclusive worship. So that's one important, you know, lesson we can learn. And as I shared again, Krishna, he doesn't like, you know, pride in anyone's heart. And especially when he sees pride in the heart of a devotee, you know, he is especially merciful. And he makes arrangements by which the pride can be removed. So he can come closer to him. Lord Krishna, Prabhupada explains, the Supreme Lord, he does not become God. He is God. From the time he took birth, like when he was barely a few days old, he killed, you know, a demon called Putana, who came to poison him on the pretext of giving him milk. So Krishna did not expand himself or do anything of that sort. He did not have any weapons. He just, on the pretext of, you know, taking her breast milk, he sucked her life air out of her and he killed her. So Prabhupada explains that God, he is God, he is always God, he doesn't become God. So through this pastime, Krishna is showing his divinity. Now for 7 days, you know, he lifted this Govardhan hill. And he held back torrential downpour, you know, of Indra. So the residents of Vrindavan, they are so much in love with Krishna that they don't see his divinity. Their love for Krishna eclipses the divinity of Krishna. But even then, Krishna performed these pastimes which reveal his divinity. One other purpose that Krishna accomplished through this Govardhan pastime is by having, you know, loving exchanges, uninterrupted loving exchanges with his devotees for 7 days. So this is the desire of every living entity. So one can only imagine, you know, the object of one's love, and this love is pure, it is not mixed. So the object of one's love, one is in their association, you know, continuously for 7 days. So of course, we can't comprehend it, you know, but the residents of Vrindavan, that is, you know, their goal of life, to be with Krishna. Always remember Krishna, never forget him, always be in his association. And Krishna fulfilled, you know, everybody's desire through this pastime. Krishna is also, and through this pastime, is encouraging to take exclusive shelter. Prabhupada gives his example. There is a specific type of a bird called a thunderbird, or in a chatak, the thunderbird, which only takes rain, water from the rain. Even if there may be plenty of water that can be drunk, you know, from the ground, it doesn't take rain, you know, from that. It only takes rain from the cloud, or water from the cloud. So sometimes this thunderbird, it chases the cloud for some rain. And sometimes it may get rain, and sometimes it also gets lightning. But even then, it doesn't go anywhere else. So the devotees of the Lord, Krishna is encouraging to come to him exclusively. And he also shows that he is non-different than Govardhan. So the Supreme Lord, in this pastime, so he asks all his residents, all the residents of Vrindavan, to offer, to make a big feast and offer it to Govardhan Hill. And to show that he is non-different than Govardhan Hill, Krishna, he actually takes all the offering that is offered to Govardhan Hill. So there is Krishna and there is also the Govardhan Hill. So both are there, and Krishna is receiving the offering, you know, from Govardhan Hill. So that tradition is followed till this date, every year. In Vrindavan especially, this is one of the most auspicious days. The Govardhan Puja is performed and a big, you know, feast is provided. At the end of the Govardhan festival, food is freely distributed to everyone as Krishna Prasadam. Nobody is, you know, excluded, you know, from getting the mercy of Krishna. Even, you know, the dogs and the animals and even the dog eaters, Prabhupada explains, you know, the scriptures explain, are given prasadam. So here we have Govardhan Hill, and we had the opportunity to bring something in offer, you know, to Govardhan Hill. So many of us, we can't, you know, approach Krishna on the altar directly, but, you know, through this pastime, all of us can, you know, offer something to Krishna. So if somehow you missed it this year, then next year again Govardhan Puja will come. And maybe you can make something next year, and, you know, it can be offered to Krishna. So much more can be said about Govardhan Puja, but time is, you know, running out. I just want to share a little bit about, you know, another festival that is happening also today, Diwali. It's a very, very important and a big festival. So skipping many, many details, Lord Ramachandra, who is another form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He overcomes a demon named Ravana. And after defeating him and after killing him, he is returning back to his kingdom, Ayodhya. So he has been banished for 14 years. And he is returning back to his kingdom. And the residents of Ayodhya, they are in separation from Lord Ramachandra for 14 years. And so once Ravana is subdued, he sends a message through his dearmost servant, Hanuman, to tell the residents of Ayodhya that he is going to be coming soon. So one can again imagine the anticipation. This is something that we can learn from the Deepavali festival. So the anticipation of the residents of Ayodhya, again, Lord Ramachandra, his consort Sita and Lakshmi Devi, Sita Devi, they are here. There's a picture here. So they are returning back to Ayodhya, and they are their life and soul. And so, obviously, their enthusiasm, has no limits. And the scriptures explain how they are preparing the whole city, the Ayodhya city, for receiving, the Supreme Lord. So this festival, to me at least, if we can even have one drop of that enthusiasm of the residents of Ayodhya, and prepare our hearts to invite in Lord Ramachandra or Krishna into our hearts, our life will be successful. So, every house in Ayodhya, is decorated. The streets are lit up. And especially on the Pavali day, lights, there are either candles or actually ghee wicks, like we have in Damodar pastime. In, ghee wicks line all the streets of Ayodhya, And Lord Ramachandra, he came, when our, Srila Prabhupada explains that actually on this Deepavali day, Lord Ramachandra, he was coronated the king of Ayodhya. So he returned back to Ayodhya, and Bharat Maharaj, who was ruling on his behalf, he was very happy to have him back. So many things can be learned from this. Lord Ramachandra, actually, before he comes back to Ayodhya, he sends a message through Bharat, through Hanuman. And he gives Hanuman a special instruction. He says, when you share the news, notice, the expression on Bharat, my brother. And he says, even if there is, if you find any trace that, he's attached to being the king, or he's not, I'm unwelcome, then let him have the kingdom. So Hanuman, he is given the special message, mission, that you go and see, And Bharat Maharaj, obviously, he was waiting for the day when Lord Ramachandra would return. And Hanuman went back and he told, the residents of Ayodhya are waiting for you. Please come. So the Supreme Lord, he comes. And Diwali is a special day when he enters Ayodhya. And he is, he's seated on the throne. So we can pray to Lord Ramachandra and Krishna to give us the gift of pure devotional service, which is the glories of this month. Pure devotional service is very easily granted in this month. Even if one does something unknowingly, it can be granted. So with that, we will end 6:30. So if there is any, if anybody would like to share anything, yes, Prabhu, or ask something, yeah, go ahead, yeah. Krishna's heart. Uh-huh. Why is Govardhan not different from Krishna? Okay. Well, maybe we can have at least especially the first part of the discussion, we can discuss separately, because I think it may not be appropriate for a Sunday feast class, but your question, second part of the question was? Why is he not different than Krishna? Okay. Well, Krishna's mercy is unlimited. And like how Krishna, he appears in the form of his deity. So similarly, Krishna, he appears in the form of Govardhan. Like in this, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam scripture, just to show his non-difference, like they are offering he's requesting the offerings to be made to Govardhan Hill, right? But then Krishna, he receives the offering that are made to the Govardhan Hill. So that is one indication how Krishna is non-different than Govardhan. One other is Krishna's, tadiyas are also non-different than himself. Krishna's deity is not a tadiya, but is an expansion, is a form of him which can be worshipped like that. And similarly, so that's why even the Govardhan Shilas, they have a very special significance, Govardhan Shila. So on the Govardhan Hill, one can pick up, of course one should not, one should receive a Govardhan Shila from a Vajvasi, from a resident of Vrindavan, but one can worship Govardhan Shila as non-different from the deity. I think we have a Govardhan Shila here. Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna. Anything else? Okay, so Radha Raman Prabhu, we will continue with the next part of the program. Thank you so much. Thank you all for coming, and stay tuned for the Govardhan Puja and the Damodar Ashtakam, and then